Today we come to the last in our short series looking at the sermons of Peter in the book of Acts. And today I'm going to read from Acts chapter 10. If you wish to follow in the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 162 in the New Testament. And this message that Peter preaches here in this chapter comes towards the end of a visit to the home of a Roman soldier, a Roman army captain, who was not a Jew. He was a Gentile, someone who was not a Jew, a pagan and a Roman. But something was going on in Cornelius's life, that God was touching him. It seems that perhaps they had heard something about Jesus and they were eager to hear more. And by God's providence and the Holy Spirit, that both Peter and Cornelius were miraculously brought together. I encourage you to read the whole story, but we're just going to read Peter's message here today. So verse 34 of Acts 10 says, Peter began to speak. I now realize that it is true that God treats everyone on the same basis. Whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him, no matter what race he belongs to. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know of the great event that took place throughout the land of Israel, beginning in Galilee after John preached his message of baptism. You know about Jesus of Nazareth and how God poured out on him the Holy Spirit and power. He went everywhere doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of everything that he did in the land of Israel and in Jerusalem. Then they put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from death 3 days later and caused him to appear, not to everyone, but only to the witnesses that God had already chosen, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from death. And he commanded us to preach the gospel to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets spoke about him, saying that everyone who believes in him will have his sins forgiven through the power of his name. Let's pray. Almighty God, as we read your word and take these words into our souls and into our minds and into our spirits, Lord, speak to us clearly once again through the words of your Apostle Peter. Lord, help us to understand and help us to receive all the good things from your word that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. In a few months' time, there's going to be a big event happening, and people from all over the world are going to be watching. Probably over 1 billion people. And as this event gets closer and closer, our house, or at least half of our house, is getting quite excited about it. And that event is the World Cup, of course, in Brazil. At least me and Jacob are excited about it. I'm not sure about anybody else. But the World Cup has always been a big thing for me. I remember being a wee boy sitting with my can of Iron Brew, 1978, watching Scotland play the World Cup, and then suffering the feeling of glorious defeat as they drew with Iran and got beat by Peru. That's right, 3-1. But there are few events that take place around the world that has the universal appeal of the World Cup. It's quite extraordinary. It's reckoned over 1 billion people, possibly even double that, could be watching on TV or listening to it on radio or watching on the internet now, which is another way that people can watch the World Cup. Now, at one time, football was mainly a European or South American thing, but now it's global. It's just about every country in the world, people play football, and they love to watch it as well. And of course, you all know it was invented by the Scots. No matter what anybody else says about it coming home, it was invented here. I believe near Gartha Harn was the first official football game that took place. And today, the gospel of Jesus Christ has an even further reach across the world than even football, where nearly 2 billion people claim to be Christians and followers of Jesus. And some in even the most remote places of the world where there's no TV, there's no electricity, there's no internet, and some people may never even have heard of the World Cup. Now, Christianity is now a truly global faith, and we really praise God for that, about the growth of the church, especially in the past 100, 150 years. The growth of the church around the world has been phenomenal. But it wasn't always like that. And I don't think Peter could have envisaged just how universal the gospel would become. Because initially Peter had some difficulty accepting that non-Jews or Gentiles, as they were known, could become followers of Jesus without becoming Jews first. And he had a big disagreement with Apostle Paul over this very issue. But God gave Peter an amazing vision, and if you read earlier in Acts chapter 10, you'll be able to read about that vision that he had. And it challenged his views about Gentiles, about us. And he was told by an angel to go to the house of this Roman, this pagan called Cornelius. And the angel told him exactly where he was to go and what town he lived in. And at the same time, Cornelius had a prompting from God to send his men to go and look for this man called Peter. And Cornelius was told where Peter would be, because both he and his household wanted to hear more about this Jesus. And so Peter goes to their house and he begins to speak to them. And afterwards, the end of the story, we read about how they responded to the gospel. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in other tongues. And it was a sign to Peter that God accepted them as well. That the gospel was not just for people of a certain race, for the Jewish people. Although that was God's plan in the Old Testament, that he chose the Jews to be his people, his witness to the world. But I want us to pick up on a couple of things that Peter says in his message to them that day. And he begins with this amazing admission. He says, "I now realize that it is true that God treats everyone on the same basis." See, God chose the Jews as his witnesses on the earth, and Jesus' ministry, at least while he was on earth, was primarily to his own people, to the Jewish people. But the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples was not that it should be limited to Jerusalem or Judea. He said, "Take it to the ends of the earth." This message is for all nations, for all people. That they weren't to keep it for themselves, and that's what they were doing, at least at the beginning of the book of Acts. But apart from Paul and a few others, they weren't taking the gospel out. But now, God treats everyone the same, both Jew and Gentile, and Peter is beginning to understand that. Which is why Peter is able to say later in verse 25, "Whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him, no matter what race he belongs to." And then at the very end, in verse 43, he says, everyone who believes in him, in Jesus, will have his sins forgiven through the power of his name. So salvation is no longer limited to just Jews, but it's for all the whosoever's and all the everyone's. And that's you and me. That includes all of us. Maybe we all understand it already that God doesn't treat anyone differently just because of their race or their colour or their skin. At one time in this country, and certainly throughout the British Empire, that was a big issue. Only 150 years or so, we had slavery. Not necessarily in this country, but we allowed it to happen and encouraged it throughout the British Empire. That we saw people of a different colour of skin or a different race, is it somehow inferior? And also spiritually inferior as well. Although there is absolutely nothing about that in the Bible. Quite the opposite. And yet that is part of our history, part of the darker part of our culture and history. And maybe we can understand that, we accept that, but sometimes we can rule ourselves out of God's love for other reasons. You might think that God couldn't possibly accept you, maybe because of something in your past. You think you're too bad and that God is just waiting to strike you down. The gospel is for whoever and for everyone. And no one is ever too bad. God loves you and God forgives you no matter how good you think you may be or how bad you think you may be. Now, my problem when I was a young man, when I was a teenager, I was of the first group that thought I was too bad, that God couldn't possibly have time for somebody like me. I thought God had written me off. But thanks be to God that by his grace he saved me. And I realised that it wasn't anything to do with me trying to do stuff for God. Because if that's what it was about, I failed every time. I kept failing. I never made the mark. But when I understood what God's grace was about, then I really understood that God loved me. God truly loved me. And maybe there's someone here today who thinks they're not important enough for God. Maybe your self-esteem is very low. You feel overlooked by other people, that people ignore you, or you're left at the side, whether it's in your work or by family or a partner or whatever has happened. And you think that God isn't interested in you either. If that were true, Jesus went to extraordinary lengths for all of us. He wouldn't have done that for anyone who was not important to him. Not one drop of blood was wasted on anyone. Christ died for all his people, and everyone is equally important to him. Or perhaps there's someone here today that thinks they're not bad enough. You think that God accepts you because you're not as bad as maybe other people that you know. And that's a dangerous place to be in as well. God treats everyone the same. We are all sinners in need of God's grace. And when we begin to measure ourselves against someone else, we are in real danger. Because it's not other people we should be comparing ourselves to. It's the holiness and perfect obedience of Christ. Not other people. But God accepts us not just because we're good, but because we're not. And if we're really honest, we'll admit that. God accepts us because we're bad, and because Jesus is good. That's the only reason. because Jesus is good. Jesus was the only one who never sinned. Jesus is the only one who is perfect and holy. What's important are the things that Peter underlines for us: to worship God, to obey his teaching, to believe in Jesus, and he says, you will be forgiven. And then, as we see, as Peter continues to preach to these Gentiles in Cornelius' house, he acknowledges the faith that they already have. He says, you know the message, the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And you know of the great event that took place throughout the land of Israel. You know about Jesus of Nazareth. You see, Caesarea, where Cornelius lived, was only 20 miles from Nazareth, on the edge of the region of Galilee. So 20 miles isn't far for news to travel of this man Jesus, of the miracles, of the healing, of multiplying loaves and fishes, of walking on water. They must have heard of all of these things. So they had some knowledge, but they were still to understand what all of this meant. You know, it's one thing to know about Jesus, but it's another thing to know Jesus. And there's no doubt that Cornelius and his friends were very religious people. I mean, most Romans were very religious. They had small shrines or altars in their homes to sometimes many different gods. But their knowledge and experience of God was incomplete. But that was all about to change for Cornelius and his household. You know, a person can be very religious and yet not know Jesus or experience the reality of his grace and his love in their life. It's possible to believe in Jesus in our head and it makes absolutely no difference in our heart or in the way that we live. Now, don't settle for a religion that is useless, a religion that is dead. Go after a living faith, a faith that is real, where Jesus is real. Jesus is alive and he's here with us now. He's not a dead saviour, he's a living saviour, and we have a living faith. And it should make a difference in our lives and in our hearts. And then lastly, the people gathered there had heard a lot about Jesus, but Peter emphasizes that he and the other apostles were witnesses of all these things, all these stories that they had heard. Peter saying, oh, we saw it with our own eyes. We saw Jesus raise the dead. We saw Jesus heal the leper. We saw Jesus walk on the water. We heard his teaching, and we were witnesses of his resurrection. And Peter recalls all the things they saw and heard, but he also gives spiritual meaning to these events that maybe Cornelius and his friends did not understand. They were all witnesses of what Jesus said and did, as he healed the sick, as he freed those who were under the power of the devil. And Peter says, for God was with him. Remember, that's the name that Jesus is given in the Christmas story, Emmanuel, God with us. God was with us. God was with us in Christ. God was with him. And they were witnesses to Jesus' death on the cross as they saw him hung on that hill of Golgotha. In the original language, it doesn't use the normal word for cross here, though it reads cross in this English Bible. It says that Jesus was nailed to a tree. I think Peter picked that word deliberately. Because in the Old Testament, if you were nailed to a tree, it says in the Old Testament that you were under God's curse. And so Jesus, by being nailed to the tree, took the curse of our sin and the punishment that we were due for our sins upon himself. And the Bible tells us that later in the New Testament, that Christ became a curse for us as he hung on the cross. And Peter wants them to understand that Jesus took that curse, that was on their lives, the curse of sin, the curse of God's judgment, that Jesus took it away and bore it in his own body. And then the apostles witnessed his resurrection from the dead, and Peter points to God's plan and purpose of all these events, that while men killed him, he says God raised him from the dead. Everything that happened to Jesus was according to God's plan and purpose. It was not just an accident. And now God has given them the Great Commission to preach this gospel to all peoples, to testify that this Jesus will be judge of all, regardless of race, tribe, or colour, or anything else. If Jesus is Saviour of all, then he will also be judge of all. And later on, we read that while Peter was still speaking, Cornelius and his friends and family in his house were filled with the Holy Spirit as they heard the message. They spoke in other tongues as a sign that God was with them. And so Peter acknowledges that and he says, these people need to be baptized. They're just the same as us. And so they baptize them in water there and then. Peter realized that salvation was for everyone who believes. Now, I think one of the greatest tragedies of our age is that many people think that Jesus just isn't for them. Jesus isn't for me. That religious stuff is not for me. Now, how has the church managed to make Jesus so unappealing? When he's the most amazing person who has ever lived. A man who healed the sick, who walked on water, who rose again from the dead. Who else has done that? And yet we make him out to be the most boring and irrelevant person that there is sometimes. I think once we begin to fully understand why Jesus is for us, it's not about performance, it's not about how good or bad we are, it's about grace. God gave his love willingly, gave his life for us at a great cost. When we understand that, then we begin to see why Jesus is for others, that Jesus is for everyone, of every race, every country, every language, men and women, everyone. And I pray today that we all get a fresh vision of a Jesus that is for all. A Jesus who is for every kind of person. Men and women, black and white, gay or straight, rich or poor, good, bad, Christian, Jew, Muslim, Hindu, pagan, and everything else in between. Jesus is for everyone. All we have to do is respond in the way that Peter tells us, to worship him, to bow and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of all, to obey his teaching, to believe and trust in him, and he will forgive our sins. For Christ is Lord of all. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your presence here among us today. And we thank you for the words of the Apostle Peter, as we have just read, who reminds us that your love and that your grace is no respecter of persons, that your love is for all people. But you call us to bow the knee to Jesus as Lord, to acknowledge him as Saviour of the world, to acknowledge that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, that he is our Creator and our Redeemer, and that we need to turn away from our sins and turn again to you in faith, in trust, and in humility. So Lord, renew our wonderment about the gospel, about this good news today. Give us a fresh sense and understanding of your love for us. And help us to see how Jesus is for others as well. Give us a heart for the lost, for those who have yet to hear the good news about Jesus. And Lord, fill our hearts with joy at this Easter time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.